What do you think of our Goliath today? Quite a character, ain't he? You know, Troy and Emma drew him. I don't know who they used for a template, but anyway, he's quite a big guy, isn't he? 9 foot tall. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. All right, as we are discussing the day, we're talking about the mega sports camp that we did here at the church, and I'm going to kind of go over some of the points that we shared with the kids this week. One thing that we tried to stress to the young people especially is that God has not just called us to conquer, but He has called us to overwhelmingly conquer. And there's a difference. There's a difference in just barely winning and then winning handily. And I believe God wants us to get into the place in our life where we learn how to win and be overcome the problems that we have that come against us. Now, I believe to win a battle, we need proper training. You know, I think God has called us to make ourselves ready. So that's our responsibility. It's a responsibility that God has put in our court. Now, He'll train us if we come to Him, but yet it's up to us to be able to come. Now, our military, you know, trains for every scenario. They'll go through different things and they'll say, what if this happens? Well, this is how we respond. So that when they get into the heat of battle, they'll know how to act and know how to respond to that certain situation. And I believe we as believers, you know, many times need to do the same thing. Now, I know, you know, we don't maybe go out and rehearse problems because, you know, problems will come. But I do believe that we can prepare ourselves scripturally for different things that come into our lives, especially in the area of our mind, to be able to overcome those things, them obstacles that seem to come our way. Because I don't know about you, but have you ever had a day come that was kind of unexpected? You didn't really know that day was coming. Everything maybe was going very well for you in life. But then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, something just came against you to try to knock you out of your game. And see, that's what the Goliaths in our life try to do. They try to come in and bring fear and intimidation to our life to get us to worry, to get us to fret, and to get us to pull back from God's best in our life. And I believe that God, like I said, has called us to overwhelmingly conquer because we need to know how to respond to those situations. And as we're ready to do that, we're going to conquer today. The scripture verse that we shared with the camp is very brief, but it's also amazing. That's what I like. I like brief and amazing. Romans 8:37, it says, "But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us." Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for the opportunity You've given us to come to You. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross and raising from the dead, and that Your blood was shed to be able to set us free from the power of sin in our life. We thank You, Lord God, that You've called us to overwhelmingly conquer. Right now, Lord, I thank You for that conquering spirit just to rise up in each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that You just stir up the gift inside of me and I use it for Your glory. And I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the first point that we shared at the conference or at the camp was practice with purpose. Practice with purpose. Now, many of us, especially we get our kids to go out and practice, but if you practice without a purpose, it's going to get boring after a while. Just going out there and doing the same old thing all the time, but if you don't have something set out there, we got to have some sort of goal of why we're practicing, what it is we're practicing for, what is it we want to do with our life, and how do we want to go after things. Now, having a purpose but failing to practice will also then give us shoddy results. Because we need to, you know, once, you know, God maybe drops something in our heart, or maybe we see an area of our life that we need to have, you know, God come in and take control of our life, because maybe we've, you know, surrendered that area of our life to the enemy and we want to be able to take back that ground. You know, then we have to also go through the motions, shall we say, of doing the things that he wants us to do, to be able to get reprogrammed, to get our mind renewed, to be able to operate in certain levels of victory that He's called us to walk in. Now, practice, when we finally do it right and we practice with a purpose, to me that brings excellence. Now, we should want excellence in our life. Not perfection. None of us are going to be perfect. But we should desire to be the best that we can be with what God's given us. And if we have that desire to walk in excellence, that means we're going to always be developing the things that He wants. And I think to get to that place, sometimes we need to think backwards. I'm a firm believer in thinking backwards. Not thinking back to the olden days, but we first need to come to the conclusion, what do we want and where do we want to be? See, if we never define those parameters, if we never make that choice in our life of what do we want out of life, where do I want to be in life, and I'm speaking especially right now in the terms of being a Christian, shall we say, you know, what kind of level of victory do you want to walk in? How strong do you want to be in the Lord? Then once we define that, then we can kind of figure out then a way of what's needed to get there. Now, you know, one of the things in my life, I wasn't born a Christian like some of you. Now, that's a joke, right? Nobody's born a Christian. I've seen if you guys caught it. We have to be born again, right? Well, I went out and I served the devil for quite a few years. But finally, once I got saved, you know, I always knew that God had a call on my life. You know, I've been delivered from end-over-end car wrecks and just a bunch of mess I don't want to go into today. But I always knew in the back of my mind that God had called me for something different than what I'm doing right now. But I had no clue of how to get there. Well, finally, there come a time in my life when weighing out a bunch of different scenarios and different things that were coming my way, and because of the love of a church, you know, reaching out and accepting me, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Well, once I had done that, I felt stupid because I didn't know anything. So I took advantage of an opportunity because in my mind I knew that God had called me, but yet I didn't really know a lot about God yet. So the church I was in had a Bible school. And so I got saved in November and I started Bible school in January. So that was really quick because I knew I wanted to learn more about God. And so that was my plan. That is something that God dropped in my heart that I needed to do. And for me, it was really about discipleship. You know, a lot of the stuff they were talking about was a little bit foreign to me, but I hung in there, amen? I took a lot of notes, wrote a lot of things down, went back and looked them over, and, you know, it was a life-changing experience for me. But see, I thought backwards because I knew that God had a call on my life, but I didn't really know exactly what that was. So that was a good opportunity for me to do it. Now, another idea is, you know, you need to set up a practice plan. Now, an example I was thinking about of, you know, is if you want to, you know, start lifting more weight. You know, how many know there ain't no need to lift anything more than a quarter pounder, amen? You know, I mean, a quarter pounder is about enough for anybody, but I mean, sometimes you can get two of them if you're really hungry. Now, well, let's say you had a goal in your life that you want to get stronger. And in your idea of getting stronger, you know, if you just say, you know, I want to be able to lift more weight. Well, that sounds like a good idea, but it's not a very good goal because you didn't really set any plans in motion there. Now, if you said, I want to be able to lift or bench press 250 pounds by January 1st, now that's a goal. That's where you've actually defined something. So now you're going to have to think backwards of you go over there to the bench press and you lift your 100 pounds or whatever, and then you see that 250 pounds, and then you do research of what kind of exercises you need to do to get you to that goal in the next 3 or 4 months. And that's probably doable for many of you. But see, that comes when you actually put that plan and you're practicing with a purpose. You want something. And to me, it's the same with the Bible. You know, if your goal in life is, I just want to know more about the Bible, well, that's not very defined very good. Or you could set your goals as saying, you know, I want to know more about grace. I want to know more about the Holy Spirit. I want to know more about healing, what it says in the Bible. Well, that's really setting things in motion there. Because then you can start to do some topical studies in the Bible to make yourself better. So you can understand, you know, the Bible calls us to be able to understand, you know, to be a workman, you know, ready to step up at any time to do what He's called us to do. But that just doesn't happen. And I'll be honest with you, I feel I'm a fairly good minister and I can give you some information. But, you know, when I only have about 30, 40 minutes at you once a week, I know I'm not going to be able to give you everything you need in the amount of time that you probably need it. That's why you need to study on your own. Or you need to take advantage of some of the other opportunities we have here at the church, whether going through the Freedom Class, which we're going to be starting another one here pretty soon, or coming to Wednesday night Bible study, doing all these things. Start soaking yourself and immersing yourself in the Word of God. And then once you start to do that, see, that's practicing with a purpose. And you get better because, I don't know about you, but if you can be a person that learns how to overwhelmingly conquer, you're going to be able to go out and help others so that they can become conquerors too. And see, that should be our goal in life, to be able to bring more people into the kingdom of God. You know, David, he started out, and that's who they were talking about this week because he's the one who took that big Goliath down there. And David started out not as a giant killer. And most of us will not start out as giant killers. You know, David started out as a young boy, and he had to go out and he had to protect his father's sheep. Now, that means a lot to me. I was raised on a farm, and, you know, only a farm kid can really understand some of the things that you get into as a farm kid. You know, as I look back, like I've always said, I don't know if my parents really loved me, you know. I mean, putting me out there with those sows with their babies, you know, once a baby pig starts squealing, you better get to some high territory because them mama sows, they take no prisoners, man, you know. And the same with a mama cow if you get between her and her baby. But, you know, I was the, you know, in Star Trek, you got the expendable crewman. Evidently, I was an expendable farm boy, you know. My dad would send me out there into these situations, you know. I know he loved me, but, you know, fortunately, you know, I was pretty agile. And I could get out of some things. But, you know, David was out there, and what he did, instead of just, you know, checking his Facebook all the time, no, he didn't have that, did he? You know, he didn't just take naps. I'm bored. No, he picked up his sling, and he grabbed some rocks, and I'm sure he picked some targets. And he started flinging that sling. It wasn't like a slingshot like we're used to, but it was like a wrap that had two cords on it and then a little pouch. And then they would sling this around and just let go and throw it at a target. Well, he became very proficient at that. And what he did, it came in kind of handy because a little bit later on, he said that, hey, you know, a lion and a bear came and tried to take my daddy's sheep. He actually saved them. He took that sling or maybe the staff or whatever, and he killed those animals and saved the sheep. And see, that just didn't happen. I'm sure it happened by practice. Now, I know as a little boy, you know, up in my teens, something that I could do is that I would always pick up rocks out of the driveway, big ones, you know, and I could fling them at telephone poles and hit them all the time. You know, instead of just being bored out on the farm, we was out there doing stuff, and, you know, I was either following the cattle or doing something, and I would always pick up a rock. Now, my dad got mad at me because he paid for those rocks to be in the driveway. You know what I mean? But yet, you know, I was always flinging them. I can always hit what I was throwing at. And my sisters hated that, you know, if you know what I'm saying. Because I could hit them with some things. But, you know, and my dad would tell me, quit throwing rocks. And I'd wait till he turned around, I'd grab a rock. I wasn't saved back then, guys, you know. And then I would take that rock and boom, just flip it over and hit a telephone, be a thunk. And then dad would look around at me. I just act all innocent and everything. Well, innocent as I could look. And, you know, but that just comes by practice. And see, if you practice at things long enough, you can get good at it. So there's no doubt in my mind that we can all get better at the Word of God and being able to use it the way that we need to. So that practicing helped David kill the lion and bear. And that leads us to the next part. Day two, we talked about competing with courage. Courage. To me, courage comes with confidence. You know, we all would like to think that we're going to be courageous at the time it's needed. You know, we don't really know how we're going to respond. I'll be honest, it's easy to say that we have courage until you need it. You know what I mean? You know, I'm courageous. Yeah, I can do all this. I'm not afraid of nothing. But then when you're placed in a situation and you see a guy like this or a situation like that, a Goliath coming into your life, trying to attack you or trying to attack your family, how are you going to face that thing down? What's your response going to be? You know, and we're going to look at a couple people that had some different responses. So to me, courage comes with confidence. And to me, confidence is two things. Number one, you have to be confident in who you are. And how you become confident in who you are is you become confident in whose you are. You're a child of the King. You've been bought with a price. You're in the family of God. You're not in this alone, but you're a covenant partner with God. So now that you're in the family of God and you're in a relationship with God, you can be able to draw upon God and His army, His angels, and all the things that we have at our disposal to be able to win the battle, to be able to compete with courage, that when the Goliaths of our day come and try to stare us down, that we don't have to turn tail and run. But we can be an example to a lost and dying world, to be able to show them what it means to be a believer and to be able to face down that giant and put him in his place. Now, David, how he got built up, you know, he started to find out who he was and whose he was, is that he spent a lot of time, as well as throwing or slinging rocks, he was worshiping God. Matter of fact, he wrote a lot of the book of Psalms. Those are just songs to God. Now, you all know I can't clap or sing, but I remember as a little boy just singing, making up my own songs. And, you know, some of them were even to God, even though I didn't really know God. I've always had a love for God in some way. And see, when we do that, when we praise and worship God, now, our style of praise and worship is a little exciting more than some. We like to clap. We like to, you know, I'd like to see a little more dancing and jumping and hooping and hollering. You know, that's all good. Because what that does, it helps to build us up. We get built up in God. And we need to be built up in God. Because sometimes we're so afraid about what everybody thinks about us, we don't really enter in. And if we choose to just, and I'm not saying you have to jump and holler to enter in. You can enter. I mean, I'm a swayer too. This is my favorite worship move right here. I mean, I can just do this all day long. I just love doing that. You know, so I know that's how I get built up too. But it takes both. And as we allow ourselves to be built up, then we become stronger. And as we build ourselves up in God, and I want you to think about this. God can only draw out what we put in. God can only draw out what we put in. So if you're going to be facing down some dude like that, and you don't have anything, you don't have a reserve, you don't have a reservoir, you don't have any scripture in your life to be able to stand on, you know, when somebody like this comes at me, I'd say a couple options. You know, my first one might be the old, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, that's all good. I also might flip out the old, greater is he that's in me, praise God, than he that's in the world. You know, I would start to build myself up in the Word of God. You know, pumping myself up, knowing that I got to make a stand against that. No, I don't stand alone. God is with me. But I do know this, I need to employ the Word of God, and I got to be able to use faith to come against us. That's why so many Christians are walking in defeat, is because they don't know how to stand on the Word. It's the Word of God that's what's going to bring us through. And they say that's our responsibility, to get into the Word of God, to be able to tap into that flow. And then when, you know, always claim John 14:26, that the Holy Spirit's going to bring all things to my remembrance. You know, but then it dawned on me, I can only remember what I put in, praise God. Amen. Amen. Now that's good preaching right there. So you got to really put that Word of God in. You say, I don't like to read. You're doomed. I'm just sorry to tell you that. No, you don't have to read the whole Bible, people. Just read a little bit at a time. Just pick one scripture and meditate on it. Meditate means chew the cud. You know, another farm. I'm really into farm stuff today. But, you know, you ever see them old cows just laying out in the field and they're just doing their mouth, you know, just chewing on that old cud. Just, I mean, to be honest, for those of you who don't know how they do that, they chew it up once the first time, then they swallow it in one of their stomachs. Then they leave it there for later, if you know what I'm saying. Well, then they'll burp it up. Have you ever burped up some? Oh my gosh, that's nasty, ain't it? But anyway, I digress. Anyway, then they burp it back up and they start chewing on it and they chew 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 on it, getting all the nutrients and all the good out of it. And then they'll digest it again. And see, that's what we need to do with the Word of God. We just need to pick a scripture, maybe a few scriptures. You don't have to know the whole Bible. But just pick some scriptures that to be able to deal with different situations in your life. Put them on a little 3x5 card or use your smartphone. Whatever you need to do. And put them in a place where you can get them. Then just start reading them over and over. And get them down inside deep. Get them deep. Get them deep. You know, keep putting them down in there. And that way, when a Goliath comes, the first thing, you know, all of a sudden, you know, somebody comes up and spooks you like that, you're going to say, "Ah, I'm afraid." You're going to say, "Get behind me, Satan." Because that's the first thing going to come out of your mouth now. Because you got it in you. See, our first response is important. You need to remember that. How you respond initially, I believe, will tell how long you're going to be in the tragedy. Because if our first response is going to beat him back, then we've gained the upper hand. And we need to do that because he doesn't play fair. And we shouldn't play fair either. You know, we need to get God in our, get God deep down in our life. So as we do that, as we build ourselves up, we're really making God bigger in our life. Now, David, as I mentioned, he was out there singing all these songs to God and just pouring his heart out for God. David just loved God, just loved him. And I don't know about you, but when David showed up, his dad told him to take some snacks or food to his brothers who were on the front line. And, you know, also sent some things to their commanders to kind of bribe them, maybe to put them in a good, safe spot. I don't know. But that's how things worked back then. And it probably works that way today in some ways. But, you know, David went up there, and all of a sudden, he seen this big dude, and he started making fun of God. Just started mocking and cursing God. Well, that ticked him off. Who are you to talk to my God that way? Well, that just didn't come by some little mouthy kid shooting off his mouth. That came from a deep relationship with God, knowing who he was and what it is that God had called him to do. See, he just didn't start out just by not doing anything. He started out killing a lion and a bear. And I'll be honest, if you're just a little feller and you killed a lion and a bear, is that any different? A Goliath any different in your life? No. He knew. And see, what had happened is all these other guys, all these guys with all this armor and all these this battle array, they had all this stuff, but they all stood back and they kind of were scared. So David, what he did is that, well, to cut the story short, Saul kind of wanted him to put some armor on. David tried it on, but it was a little big, didn't really fit him. So David went back to what he knew, and that's what we need to do. You can't fight with somebody else's armor. You got to have your own armor. So what he did is he went out, took that armor off, just went out, just dressed in normal clothes, grabbed 5 stones, put them in his pouch, and he ran toward that guy, ran at him, just ran at him, wasn't afraid. He had courage. Slipped that stone in his pouch, swung it around, bam, right between the eyes, knocked him down. Then he took his sword and he cut his head off. Turned the whole situation around. Now, any of those other guys, if they really loved God, they might have stuck up for God. They might have stepped out in faith. But to me, there's a difference. See, they didn't know God like David did. Now, here's what I want you to get. Perhaps the soldiers of that day just thought they worked for God. But David knew that he worked with God. And that's a revelation we got to get. We're not working for God. We're working with God. God is with us. He's inside of us. He's being able to carry us through and take us to the place that he needs us to be. And as we learn how to yield to him and to be able to walk in his power, then we're going to start to see these things start to happen. Because what had happened is that David had been anointed to be king. And a couple things that he experienced was that when he was out there worshiping God and getting to know God in a deeper way, he started to understand the anointing and the Spirit of God. And as well as knowing the Word of God, you and I need to develop that kind of relationship with the Spirit of God. And it's the anointing that comes upon us, and that's what really empowers us, that makes us different than anything else, is that God chose to send His Spirit to live inside of you and I. And it's that Spirit that rises up in us that causes us to be able to compete with confidence. Now, the last thing we looked at in day three was the idea of skipping the shortcuts. Skipping the shortcuts. Everybody likes a shortcut. You know, most of us would like to, you know, if we had our options, you know, we'd choose microwave over oven anytime. Why? It's quicker. You know, just get it done. Now, to me, it tastes better out of the real oven. And so sometimes things just need to take a little time to cook. But we can be tempted all the time to just take the easy way. You know, what's the most simple way? What's the way that I have to put out the less effort in my life? Now, one thing that we have to remember is that we have an enemy. And that enemy is inside of us, in the sense that we sometimes will say that good enough is just good enough. But see, good enough will keep us from greatness. You know, most of us just want to go half-hearted. We just want to don't put in all our effort. So as long as we just make it, you know, like in school, you know, some of the kids had some coaches that tell them that C's get degrees. You know, and I didn't really like that. One of them even said, D's get degrees. I said, shoot for an A. If you hit a B, that's all right, man. But don't shoot for a C or a D. You know, come on. Good enough will keep you from greatness. And we need to be the kind of people, not saying perfection, because we're never going to make perfection this side of glory. But if we always want to walk in that excellence that I talked about earlier, to get, you know, to be as good as we can be. Now, and what we looked at that day was the idea of David had some opportunities in his life. You know, as we know that God had anointed him to be king. Saul was anointed to be king because the people wanted a king. Well, what had happened then is that Saul kind of, you know, got in trouble. And he started to take things in his own hands. And he started to sin against God. Well, God had had enough. So God says, well, I'm going to anoint somebody after my own heart. Well, that was David. So David was anointed to be king. Had kind of an anointing ceremony in front of his family. Big day in his life. He'd been out there with the sheep, and all of a sudden they called him in from the out there and said, hey, come on in, you know, they're waiting on you. So he's anointed king. You know what happened next? Went back out to the sheep. He didn't head to the palace. He still had more things to learn. So what had happened is that as he started to grow in his giftings, that all of a sudden God started to promote him. Saul had demonic issues where demons would come and torment him. David, due to playing out in the field, he was a good musician, played on his harp. Saul had called him in and he'd play the harp and the demons would leave. So David was starting to get a little bit of promotion there. He's working in the palace a little bit. And then, you know, David got promoted, especially after he killed Goliath. And, you know, the people were singing, you know, Saul had killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. Well, then Saul started to get intimidated because Saul had kind of an insecurity in his life and it was a problem. And then what had happened was that David had to flee. And then while they're out running, two different times, Saul had been delivered into David's hands where he could have killed him. And all David's men that were with him said, hey, do it. Kill him. You know you're anointed to be king. What are you waiting for? He's right there. One time Saul came in to go to the bathroom in the cave, and David and his men were hiding in that cave. He could have walked right up and whacked him. Didn't. Just cut a little bit off his robe and yelled at him and said, hey, you know, I could have killed you, but I didn't. Another time God put Saul and all his followers asleep, and David went up and took his spear and different things, a jug. And anyway, so two different times. But David wouldn't do it because that would have been a shortcut for him. David, for whatever reason, he had integrity. He had things in his mind the way that things ought to do. And one of the things that David was against, and that was self-promotion. He wanted God to promote him. He just didn't want to promote himself. And see, that's something that if we understand that if we start to develop integrity in our life, that when we're out there in the world, we decide what boundaries we're going to have. And we're going to do a series on boundaries this year. But you need to establish some boundaries in your life of how you're going to operate, how you're going to do things at work, in your marriage, in your families, you know, in all your relationships. And if you set those boundaries and know what it is you're going to want to do, then you can start to go after them. Now, David, as I mentioned, he kept his integrity. And sometimes the hard way is the right way. And the idea is when you get there, and we all want to get there, right? To wherever we're supposed to be going, you want to get there the right way. And when we do that, you're going to be able to enjoy it. And we want to know that God got us there. So, as we look at that, skipping the shortcuts, and that was the last point of what we looked at the sports camp. So bad-mouthing and character assassination is not God's way for helping us to get where we need to be. Amen? So, and then maybe you hang around people like that. Quit it. Amen? Because they'll rub off on you. All right, so not all days are the same. We have to remember that. You're going to have a lot of good days, but when the attacks come, you need to be ready. Because God says we can overwhelmingly conquer whatever the enemy brings against us. We need to learn from the life of David on how we can defeat the Goliaths in our life. Let's pray.